stories. We're going to rehearse the goodness of God. I just want to just spend a couple of minutes just reminding all of us just of the great power that there is when we share our testimony. There's that lovely verse that's often spoken, for the testimony of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. So when we think about the testimony of Jesus, we kind of can think, well, what is that? But it's anything that is written and spoken about what he has done. And I think I've mentioned this before, but the Old Testament Hebrew word for testimony comes from a root word with the meaning, do it again. So the testimony of Jesus is like keeping this record, this rehearsing this record, isn't it, of everything that Jesus has done and what he wants to do again to replicate. So we can be sure that when we hear a testimony and we hear what Jesus does, it's not in people's lives, it's not a one-off event. He is able to repeat that again. The spirit of prophecy occurs when the word of God is released through testimony and changes the reality of what a person is facing. It's like a decree, and we're going to do some decrees and declarations later on. It's like a decree empowered by heaven and all its power to change the reality of a situation. So the wonderful thing about hearing testimonies, it builds up courage and faith and hope in us. It kind of realigns our thinking, doesn't it? And we once again, we say, yes, God, that's who you are. You're our God of provision. You're our God of hope. You're our God of healing. And that becomes the conversation on our lips, which builds faith. The nature of God's revealed for everyone to taste and see what he is. So this morning we have just got this glorious opportunity to hear the testimonies of God in people's lives. And I'm going to invite you, Zoe, to come and lead us in that.
Great. Hey, everyone. Good. We've got the beautiful Bronwyn with her beautiful, peaceful voice. Doesn't she just make you feel like you're in heaven already? Like, it's just amazing. And then I'm bouncing up and I'm going to give you some energy today in a different way. So why don't you just turn to your neighbor right now and say, are you ready to be inspired? Cool. We've got to be ready to hear these new testimonies of what God is doing. Let's not be hearing it with the same ears that we've heard it before, but let's have new ears to hear what God is saying, what God is doing, because what he's speaking through someone's life is here to minister to you and to release something new to you today. So we're very excited to share those testimonies with you. Well, first up, we have the amazing and beautiful Kate coming up. Let's give her a little bit of a round of applause, a bit of an encouragement.
I feel pressure to inspire you now. All right. So my story is about God getting me a job, but it's wrapped around a whole bigger story. I need to share a little bit of background. So I suffered with chronic pain for 25 years plus, probably since I was in my early 20s. And people who suffer with chronic pain will often not show you that they're suffering. And they will put on a good face and they will push through and you won't know what's going on inside in their body. And there's an element that comes with chronic pain of shame. I mean, it's all from the enemy. But there's a shame that you think you shouldn't be sick and that you think you should be able to get better. And you think you should. And many people with chronic pain try everything to get better. And as a Christian, even it can be even harder because you think, I'm not praying right. And the enemy throws all this extra layer of striving into it. So alongside this for me as well, when another source of shame for me that the enemy used was that I wasn't working in paid employment. So I've always had a career thing, big work ethic in my family, first job at 11 kind of stuff, and always had my own money. And there's this whole generational pressure of that. I made a decision when I had Millie that I wasn't going to work. I wanted to be a full-time mum. But because of the chronic pain, I couldn't get back into any kind of work. And there were even people within my family pressuring me, saying, when are you going to get back to work? It's like, I'm sick, you know. And society, you know, these days it's not enough. There's not honor in raising your family and staying home with them. You know, if people say, what do you do? What do you do? Well, I'm a mom. Is that not enough? It's not enough, you know, for a lot of people these days. It's a lot of pressure on women. So I had these two big sources of shame in my life, and I would take them to God and say, I'm not supposed to care what the world thinks. I'm not supposed to care about this stuff. But, you know, I do. I'm human. And about 2 years ago, I was at a real, real low. And all I could see for my life was that I was going to go from sick to old to dead. That's what I felt. You know, I was losing my hope. I'm like, what are you going to do, God? And he gave me this psalm one day in an email from some, I don't know, something in America. And it was Psalm 71:20. And it said, you who have shown me all trouble, great and small, will quicken me again and bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You will restore my honor and comfort me once more. And I read that and I'm like, I want that, God. I want that. And I started to pray into it. I took it as a promise. I'm like, and it took another 6 months to a year before things really started to shift, but they started to turn a corner. And he led me to this group online, this chronic pain recovery. And I thought, I can't do another thing like that because nothing's worked. But I said, block it or bless it. I'm going to try this, block it or bless it. And this is American company. And I did this course. And what they taught me how to rest. And I saw that a big problem in my life had been striving. You know, I didn't know how to rest in God. I didn't know how to physically rest. And they taught me how to rest, and healing started. And when I'd finished the course, my chronic pain was down by about 80%. You know, and that's one testimony. But the testimony after that, the real one, is that I said the other one. I said, after I'd finished the course, I got this nudge from Holy Spirit. Why don't you ask them if they need a facilitator? And I'm like, oh, no, no. Because what if you don't? No, not going back to work. And it's just ask. So I asked. And I said, God, block it or bless it. This has been my prayer this week. Block it or bless it, God. And the door opened. They said, yeah, we don't have any facilitators in New Zealand right now because we're an American company, but why not? I say, okay, let's see your resume. So I'm like, oh, gosh, dug it out. I started to pull things out from jobs that I'd done that I thought, what was the point in that? Why did I do that job? I went to that particular job because I thought I should, or I went into that job because of this, you know, not because I wanted to. And he pulled things from all of these things that I'd done. There was this experience. Oh, wow, that's applicable. And I saw in front of my eyes how he was using what I thought was useless, dead and irrelevant, what I thought had been a waste of my life. He was using it and put together the perfect resume for this job. And it blew me away to see how he really does use these things. And I put it in, and the biggest thing is that he turned what I saw as a liability into an asset. So most employers, if you tell them you've got a history of chronic pain and you've had a lot of crashes and burns, they wouldn't really want to know, you know. But this company, that's what they wanted. They wanted the fact that I'd been through this chronic pain journey and was recovering. They didn't care I wasn't fully recovered. They understand the process. They wanted that experience, and they wanted to employ me because of my experience with struggle. And that is God's kingdom. That's that God turns liabilities into assets. And he turns what I thought was dead and useless into something that's relevant and useful. And he turned my shame into honor. Because I feel like I have no honor. I have no place in this world. And he has turned that around. And he's lifted it up. And he's given me honor. And this job is just like a dream job. It is such a God job. I love it. It's hours are within school hours. And it's so, and I'm not saying this to brag, this is God's glory. It's so well paid. I hardly have to work any hours a week. So I can still be the mum that I want to be for my kids. And I said, God, if I'm going to go back to work, it has to be something that doesn't affect my health and it doesn't affect my kids. And he has been so incredibly faithful. If you had told me 2 years ago that I would be working for a company in America in my dream job, helping people and using the things I'd been through, I would not have believed you, you know, and he has turned this shame into honor. So I really want to encourage anyone today, if you want a job, we can pray for the job, take the testimony for the job. But if you've got any area of your life that feels dead, like if it's a dream or if it's something that a relationship, even anything that feels like it's useless, that can't possibly be turned into anything, that's lost or devoid of hope. You know, I was devoid of hope. I knew intellectually I had a hope in God, but I didn't feel it. If you don't feel it today, I just want to pray for you. Shall we pray? Shall I pray? Or did you want to pray? Oh, we want to pray at the end. Okay, cool.
I think Kate's just really touched on something what God really wants to do this morning. So I think he's building something in the place. It's a start because I know that God's bringing some words around that whole area this morning. So still keep your heart open for what God is saying this morning. So what we are going to do is I'm going to pop this up. Thank you so much for Kate. You were inspired, right? Come on, let's give God a praise. He's so good, right? I'm claiming that for me too, Kate. So I'm excited. Luke, can you just pop that first slide up? We're just going to, as we said, we're going to do some declarations. And I wanted to just touch on why we actually do declarations. Okay, so when we speak out decrees, we are aligning ourselves with a higher truth. We are speaking out what God is already saying. Right? So God is decreeing victory over you, your family, over nations right now. And when we do this, we expect to see shift and change by what we speak. And I think that's the big thing that we need to keep in mind, that as we're doing it, they're not just empty words, but we expect that all of heaven is activated as we speak those words and they begin to move as we come into that aligning with God. So thanks, Luke. You can just skip to the next one. And just scripture we really know very well about binding and loosing, but it says there, whatever you release in heaven will be released on earth. Isn't that exciting that what we release and we have that as we speak God's word. So the next one, thanks Luke, you know, Kate spoke about how God brought provision. And we're going to do some declarations. This is a declaration into provision for today. So why don't you respond in any way you like. If you want to stand and say this with us, if you want to stay sitting, if this is an area that you are wanting to declare in today, we can do this together. Are we good? Great. Thank you. Thank you, God. So I declare that God has given me his keys to finance and resource. I declare that I'm not limited to the natural economy, but I am participating with heaven's economy, where there are more than enough opportunities, finance, resources, relationships, ideas, and creativity. I pray that we will access the full provision you have already for the calling and purposes you have created us for. Sorry, I read that a slightly different. Us for us. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus, for your provision. Thank you, God, that you're opening up paths that cannot be opened in our natural way of thinking. Now I'd love to invite up Beth and Chris to share one of their next inspiring stories with us too. Yes, Timony.
Okay. Hey, so we're going to share this, and I said, Beth, can I start? And where I'd like to start is up on my roof at 10B Woodley Street in the year 2014 or 15, all right? And I said to the Lord, as I looked at the beautiful view, Lord, I don't want to paint this roof again. And here we are now, Beth. Oh, do you want me to go further? Okay, all right. I'll go for a little bit further. Right, and I'll fast forward to this morning, which is the 21st of March. That's right. Deepak's laughing. Yeah, no, it's true. I'm laughing too. On the 21st of January, we had an idea. And now it's the 21st of March, and we fulfilled the idea. And it's been 21 years and 50 days since we were in our home, and we moved out on Friday. Didn't we, darling? Yes, we did. And I was going to say something. Oh, yeah. So I'm a process person, and I wrote down a bit of a chronology this morning. I wrote down the dates that this happened and that happened, and then I lost where I'd put it. Terry and Lindley are our new flatmates at a house that we're going to be dwelling in for goodness knows how long. And, yeah, so obviously God had a better idea. So that's where you come in, my darling. So,
First and foremost, I know that sometimes when people are so exuberant in their breakthrough in God that it can come across as an arrogant thing. But we really want to bring a hope to people, because what happens to us as Chris and Beth is never about Chris and Beth. And we've always known that. We walk as leaders of a community. and you are our community. And so what we have in our lives is your life as well. It's what we do. It's just about the calling. It's never about us. And we know that. And we know that this is God. So about 2 years ago, I didn't know Chris had said that wish to God, but about 2 years ago, we had both heard from God on separate occasions about the scripture to Abraham was to get out of your home and to look up at the stars. And right at that point, I had just decorated my home and was rather enjoying it. And I felt like, oh, that can't be God, because that's not what I want to do. And Chris was, yeah, we can do this, we can do this. And I said, well, we're not in agreement yet, so let's just wait on this. And then last year, I came to him and said, oh, I reckon it's now. And he goes, no. I'm not okay now. The market's not good. You know, it's just skyrocketing. And really the last 7 years since Chris made that wish has been a bit like, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death for us, for me personally. And so I began to dream, because I'm a person that loves to hear the word of God and to take the word of God and to wait on it. And I love that. I love the way that God outworks his word. And it's usually not an easy outworking, but it's always good. And the thing is that we need to stay with the word. And so I began to get close back into an intimacy with God. And a lot of you don't know the circumstances under which I've been walking. Some do. But just like Kate, you can have physical chronic pain and you can have emotional chronic pain. You can have spiritual pain that you live with for a long time, and it brings a great shame, and it does. And it also, and anyone who has walked in chronic pain knows that there's an element of depression that comes with that you have to battle on a regular basis. And I have had to do that. And so, you know, hearing the word of God is just like, you need to get out of your home, stand and look at the stars. And you get out, and God made Abraham do that at night, in that dark place, in that place of where it wasn't so great, not so easy to see, but to look at the stars. And so we began to do that, and as we began to do that, there began to be these very odd circumstances that began to arise. One, the housing market went nuts. Absolute nuts, right? We're living in this absolute crazy moment. And so I began, and of all things, to read the book of Job. And I'm saying to God, why am I in the book of Job? This is just not right. But what happened over December, January, and February was that people began to speak to us, well, you can't do this. You can't do this. Well, God's a supply, but you have to sell in the same market and buy in the same market. So you can't do what you think that you can do. And so we began to, and I began to argue with God. So why am I in the book of Job? I don't like the book of Job. It's all about loss. It's all about pain. It's all about incredible suffering. And I get to a certain point, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, because I need you not to hear the voice of other people. I need you to hear me in this space, because the journey I have for you is a journey of faith, like Abraham walked, and not one of what you can do. Because if we're only ever living out of what we can do, then it's not a journey of faith. And I thought, oh, and you know, it sounds really great, doesn't it? Sounds really great. But the walking out of it's not so easy. And so anyway, my husband he's just walking past the street. He's walking past the church, sees someone that we know really well, two people, and they're talking about a section. And his ears prick up, and as my husband does, he just sidles up to anybody on the street. And he just says, "Do I hear you talk? Do you have a section?" And because we had just decided that, no, we didn't want to buy in the same market, that this was part of the word of God was saying to us, don't do this. Even though it's what everyone's telling you, don't do this. And we said, well, God, what can we do? And so we had agreed. It was our first agreement. It was our first agreement that we would build. And then all of a sudden that gasp that comes out of you make that statement. And it's just we can only do this by God. Anyway, he says, so do you know any land? And this person says, yes, I do know some land. And there's a section down in this place. You should go and have a look because the contract on it has disappeared or is in flux because of a broken relationship. And first of all, I thought, oh, I don't really want to inherit that. But anyway, we went down, we had a look, and as it was, that section actually wasn't available, but a particular show home happened to be in that section, and I just said to Chris, oh, let's just go have a look. I really felt very strong, and we need to have a look, because I'm not a person that likes to live in a box, and all the plans I'd seen were about boxes, and I was struggling with that. And yes.
When we heard about the section come up, I was immediately excited. I took Beth down there, and then we got on the land, and I thought to myself, oh, Lord, we shouldn't be looking for this land. We should be praying for this relationship. So we did, and then unbeknownst to Beth, I just let it go. Okay, carry on.
So anyway, I say to him, let's just go have a look. He said, we can't go there. It'll make us want something that we can't get. And I said, well, I just really feel we need to go take a look. So anyway, we walk into this place and we walk in and we immediately go to one another. Oh, we could live here. We could live in this. And it's not a high-end spec show home. In fact, the company that we went with deliberately didn't do their high-end spec show homes like most building companies did. They actually purposely went low. And God had been speaking to us about going low.
It's not too low.
No, it was a show home. But anyway, we walked in and we saw someone who we knew who was in charge of the sales thing and a woman of faith who we knew. And so we sat down and we talked and this is what, and I said, oh, so what's the bottom line here? Because I thought, you know, no one builds a home unless they look and see if they can finish it, you know, that's scripture. And we had a particular bottom line and or top line, because it's still going to take faith. And she said it, and she said the bottom line. And we both looked at one another, and then this came out of her mouth. She said, you can do this. And,
okay, my turn. Beth and I were just talking about what to share this morning, and one of the things that she struggled with is the whole aspect of not deserving something. Do any of you feel like that? Like, I don't deserve things. That's her journey. My journey is that I can't afford things. Okay, so yeah, and some people struggle in different areas. You know, the whole thing of finance. we were debt free, and I sort of thought, well, what's the point in doing anything if we're going to go back into debt? And we're still trusting God in that as well, just quietly, because He's been amazing so far. Why can't He still be amazing? But as I say, there these little things that each of us have to overcome. And I might be vulnerable in a particular area that you're not. You might think, I can believe for $5 million, sweet. And others might be shuddering to take that sort of a risk, where others are you're really struggling with, well, I just don't deserve it anyway, so I'm not even going to give it a shot. But I'll just cut in here very quickly. There have been people like the woman at the show home, a woman of faith that says we can do this. There's been other people along the journey, and some of you are sitting in this room, I won't name you, but others that have given us confidence to take that next step. But the crazy thing is the timing. I just want to just say 21 days. Can everyone say 21 days? That's how much it's taken from then till actually being out of the house, having sold a house and bought some land. This particular woman at the show home said, look, there's a couple of sections here. There's a section there. There's a section the other place. Go have a look. And we did. And we thought, oh, yeah. Not that one. Yeah, we quite like this one. It's a good place. And anyway, that one sold, didn't it? And there was another one behind it that wouldn't fit what we wanted. That one remained, but we couldn't fit what we wanted. We thought, okay, God, if this is what, so we're. And then we went back and had a look at this other one. And we said, And then we got, And then we liked one section. It was too small again. And then the next section next to it, we went, oh. And we walked around it. And basically, we thought we were really tired. We needed a holiday. We had a holiday booked in early February. And we said to the guy, look, we like the land. Could you keep us first in the queue if you're going to sell it? Because it hadn't got on the market. And he said, sure. I said, we need a holiday. We'll get in touch when we get back. And we got back, and
so all this time we had been traveling, and God had been speaking to us. And I haven't got it on my phone, but I've got it on my phone, but I didn't bring it up here. But God's been speaking to me in different numbers, and Zoe knows about this, so she's got this book on numbers. And anyway, certain numbers had kept coming up, 111, 1111, all the time. And then when we were on holiday, on our second week of holiday, this began to turn up. On the first day, it was 111 or 1111 came up wherever we were looking. Second day began 222. Third day began 333. Fourth day began 444. I'm putting it out, and by then it's got my husband's attention, because he didn't pay too much attention to the first lot, because sometimes you think it's just circumstances. But by the fifth day, when 555 turned up on a number plate in front of where we parked, we went round the roundabout, came back, stopped and photographed it, because it just was talking about the blessing of God and inheriting the promises of God. I haven't finished yet. Just let me say the sentence, all right? So by then, because I had been wrestling with the fact of the shame of what I'd been walking through, and people, the blame and the shame that had been put upon me and that I put upon myself because of it, that I began to lift my head and think, okay, God, You are a God of mercy. I can choose to step into an abundance, because I was told, and I told myself, I didn't deserve anything good. I didn't deserve another chance. I didn't deserve an abundance, and had been treated that way as well, and treated myself that way. So anyway, we came back from holiday, and
with all of these numbers, because I'm not a numbers person, I've been reading a book called 11 Days about this guy who had this relationship where he talked with God and he believed that God would speak to him. And I thought, I'm a pastor. I should have that already. And I do. It's not that I don't, but it's like he just put it in a fresh way about it. There was a friendship that, so I just sort of asked God about this because all of these were a little bit coincidental, weren't they, darling? Yes, a little. In Te Reo Māori, they're called to'u, or signs, little signs that make you wonder. You read about those in the Bible too. But the whole thing with me, we were walking on a beach, and I said to the Lord, okay, is this you? And then I got this thought, see what I can do. And I said, that sounds like God. And then he said, see what love can do. And I had that, you know, that song that, see what love can do. And I've been coasting on that since.
So we get home from holiday and two of our great friends who've moved into Taranaki, actually three of our great friends who had moved into Taranaki, Cindy, Jay and Aaron, and Tawaka and Elliot Collins, we had connected together and all three had the same scripture about Abraham. All of us had the same thing about get out of your home and look at the stars and see what I can do. So with Jay and Aaron, they came around to our house. They hadn't been able to find a house to rent, let alone to buy. And they're working in the Anglican diocese at the moment. And so the Anglican Trust had said, we'll find a house and we'll buy it. And they couldn't even do that. So they came round and we're just crying in the kitchen, the four of us, because of the scripture about what God had given us and that we didn't really know what we were going to do and how we're going to do it. And Chris and I just really felt we wanted to give Jay and Erin a home. And so we said, well, you know, let the diocese come and make us an offer and we'll see what God can do. And so fast forward to the week of Waka Kite, which my mind was on Waka Kite, didn't really want to look at the whole thing. We had this very officious valuer come in who picked at everything that could possibly go wrong. And we thought, oh, this is going to be interesting. We had a bottom line and they came back above our bottom line. And then Chris said, Chris felt, see what love can do. And he, yeah, we did. We both had the same number. And then he counted it because he felt like, see what love can do. And then they agreed. So we got way above our bottom line. And, So anyway, we get an agreement on the house on Friday. Waka Kite Friday. We get an agreement on the house. Now, that sent a whole lot of panic happening. We had a daughter who was living with us who had nowhere to live. We didn't really have any finance. We didn't, other than what was in our house. We didn't have a lawyer. We didn't have a lot of things. We didn't have any storage. And most of all, we had nowhere to go. And so by Monday, so Friday, agreement on the house, by Monday we had, what had transpired is we had a lawyer who we went to see on Monday. Our daughter had been rung up to say she could come and move into a flat. We had someone offer to take our boxes. I had another friend who offered to take my antique furniture from my parents and grandparents that I couldn't see myself putting into storage. So that already had a place, and we had a place to go. And by Monday, we get into the lawyer, and all he can do is go, wow, you should have sold in the actual marketplace and gone to real estate. See, we don't need to because we got way above what we needed to. We're okay. And while we're in the lawyer, the person that had said, go and see this land, rang and said, oh, this guy's about to put the land on the market. Are you still interested? Chris, at 4:30, rang the guy. 4:30, had an appointment. By 5 o'clock, we had an agreement on the land before it went to market, which was way lower than when he put it on the market. Within 5 days, every section that was in that block had been sold for way higher than what we purchased it, because we needed to purchase it in a certain thing that could do it. And all the lawyer could do was go, wow, I can't believe how quickly this has happened. And then we went to signs, and that was in 4 days. And within a week and a half since then, we have packed up a house of 21 years. And on Friday, the transactions happened. In that week and a half, we've also done the specs on the house. We've chosen what we've needed. We've done the carpet. We've done the flooring. We've done the colours. We've got it all in to be signed off, and the person who's helping us says, my gosh, this is too easy. And we said, this is too easy. Someone turns to me in the street and says, oh no, you're going to head into the awful building business. And by then, my confidence in the word of God, I just turned around to him and said, no, that is not going to be our experience. Because God is in this, and God has done this. And he doesn't really know God, but he now does. And, okay, and I have to have the last word. So on Friday, no, he has the last word. I just need to finish. So on Friday, I'm in Welling, so we've packed up. And by the way, for all of you who came and helped the process, you didn't clean just for us. See, it's never about us, by the way. It's just never always about us. You came and cleaned for the people that we were gifting a house to, which was a blessing to us, because they're dear, dear friends who need love and support. And they walked into that home feeling like it was immediately home, feeling like it was the rest that they needed. And just the God cogs that just, when God makes something move, he just makes something move. By the way, Erin, if you were here on Sunday when Erin spoke, she talked about her dream about getting into the river and walking over the stones and how difficult it can be. And then you can look up and you see a highway going up and people crossing over the highway. And as she's saying that, Chris and I look at each other and go, that's exactly where we've brought. We've brought right by a river with massive boulders and rocks. And if you stand on the edge of our property, you see the Waiwakaiho overbridge going over, and you can see the people walking over it to the other side. So what she was delivering in the spiritual, we were living in the physical. And on Friday, I packed up on Wednesday. I left the house Wednesday because I went to Wellington for the last couple of days. And Chris emails me and he says, we're now officially homeless landowners. And we are. We've begun our exodus, and it just so happens I'm in the book of Exodus. And so I know that God's speaking to me out of it. And this is what he says: to cover the thing that still barks at me that I don't deserve anything. And he says, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall be when you go that you shall not go empty-handed. And that's out of Exodus 3. And I just know, we don't know how we're going to live. Everything's disorientated. I can't find anything. It's in a box somewhere. I went to clean a floor and the mop head had been packed in a box. Had the stick, but no mop head. So I just packed up the kitchen. I went to make a cup of tea, no spoon. You know, simple little things and disorientation. And it's just like the book of Exodus, but we know we're on this God journey. And he's just really faithful to it. And so because we know it's God, there's no turning back. There's no, we no longer have to compromise. And I've just got a whole stack of other testimonies in that no compromise of the blessing of God. I get a gable recess ceiling, which I always dreamed about, you know, stuff like that, which God's just dropped in, and apparently dropped in with no extra cost. So, you know, stuff like that. So when we fully embrace what God says, we get the God, not just the good. When we fully embrace what God says, we get the God, not just the good. So we need to stand our ground, and we need to lift our heads and look at the stars. And we are going to be prophesying that over this house, because we truly have entered a new season, and it's a good season of favor and abundance, not just for us as a couple, but for the house. Yes? And so now you have the last one.
Okay. Favor. So say it. Favor. I have God's favor. Let's say that. It's not to do with house, land, money, whatever it is, but you have God's favor. I have God's favor. The two things I just wanted to reiterate what Beth said before is that there are people that have, through contributing in their various giftings and ways, have instilled confidence in our hearts. Confidence is a big deal. If you're low on confidence, I believe God wants to infuse that. Maybe Zoe might pick up on that. But that whole thing, we're deeply grateful for those who have worked, who have helped us shift, who've cleaned things, who've helped organize and pack, and just given us the ability to act on what we now know God's in it. And this, the whole thing too, is just there's something for each of us that say, what can God do? Well, see what love can do. See what love can do. I want to leave that with you too. So I'll just back to Zoe.
How awesome was that? Wow. I love hearing just how God's abundance just flowed through every area of that testimony. And I know that we've had a great house testimony in our lives. Who's also had awesome, God's moved amazingly in your homes, in your life. Has anyone else had great? God, we give you praise for how you've moved in homes. Wow, there's many hands here, how God's moved in. Whoa, that's awesome. Many homes, and God is doing an amazing thing with that. So we just praise you, Lord, for that today. We're just going to also just, if you want to join us, we've got a couple of declarations on abundance and favor as well. Chris has already got us started, but we could join in this. If you want to stand again, just stretch those legs. And if you're ready to say this along with us, you can say, let my life carry as much light as I can contain. I was made to shine brightly from the greatest position you dreamed of for me. I pray that you would deliver me from the desire to be small or hidden, from fear of pride of influence. Let me have joy in shining your reputation through me. I declare God's supernatural favor over my life. What I cannot make happen on my own, God will make happen for me and my family and our church. The favor of God will open doors for me. One more, and thank you, Luke. And I declare John 10:10, and all that God has promised me, that he has come to give us an abundance more than we could ever expect, life in its fullness until we overflow. Amen. Amen. Take a seat. Sorry about my few punctuation mistakes in there. And that's great. And we're gonna pull the service together now with a bit of a song in a moment. But as we've said, those declarations of favor, of abundance, you know, of provision. We've spoken about homes this morning. We've spoken about healing this morning. And I just really feel like God wants to meet you in the place where you're at. If this feels like, you know, just God wants to meet every single one of you with that place of need where you're in today. He's doing that right now. And just to end and just to add, I'm picking up from some of the things God spoke to me this morning about those out there, and Beth and I have been speaking about Exodus 3 and that story of Moses, you know, and again of Abraham. And the word I felt he released to me was that God was speaking to someone who has felt the call of God in their life. He's talking to pioneers, people who have got this of pushing forward. It might be of ministry, it might be in work, it might be a job, in some kind of place. You feel like God has spoken to you at some point in your life. He's put a dream on your heart. And you haven't felt worthy of it, as Beth has said. But like Moses, God has chosen you because of your heart. And he wants to know that the mission is still the same. That your time in the wilderness, he's allowed you to grow strong and develop a deep and intimate relationship with him, to hear his voice and to know his heart. And I feel like this morning God wants to remind you that the enemy has been so afraid of you and the plans that he has over your life that he may have been coming against you. But let me tell you that the God, our King, is with you. And this morning I just feel like he wants to speak again to those people who have felt that call on their life and have maybe felt the fog or the misunderstanding, maybe not sure exactly where that has felt right. I release God wants to come and heal that for you this morning. He's put the burning bush there for you again, and he wants to give you a recommissioning today into that place of dream and of pioneering. So if that's you, I'm going to pray for you in a moment. Kate, do you want to come and pray over that as well? Just really quickly, and then we'll head on to our song. Thank you guys for having a heart and sitting there so patiently listening, allowing God to just move.
Father God, I thank you for the things that you've done in my own life, Lord, and I pray that anyone who related to having an area that feels dead, useless, that has no hope, that feels dark, that just looks like it's never going to change, never got better, I just pray that you'd breathe into that area today, Lord Jesus. Just bring your hope, bring a word that they can hold onto, and let them take this testimony of my life, Lord, and take it as hope for their own. And we just speak life over those areas that need hope and fulfillment and restoration, particularly any areas of shame, Father. I just pray that you would turn shame into honor once again for people who are struggling in any area of their life with that, Father. Thank you. Turn liabilities into assets. And what seems useful to us, useless to us, would be useful and relevant to your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. God, and I just release over those who have pioneered, God, who have a dream in their heart, God, that you've been speaking to them about maybe for a month, maybe for a year, maybe 10 years, God, and where they've lost hope, God, where hope has been deferred. Father, I just release your hope back into those situations right now in Jesus' name. God, I speak a shift, a Jesus shift. God, I speak new and fresh revelations into those places. God, I speak life and awakening to hearts in Jesus' name. God, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. God, that we do this together and not on our own, but that you're bringing us as the bride of Christ to take your kingdom further. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing.